Brendan Carr, who runs the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, in response to this Trump Truth Social post. So let me read this. Yet again, an intentionally misleading headline by the fake news media about the five tanker planes that were supposedly struck down at an airport in Saudi Arabia and of no further use. In actuality, the base was hit a few days ago, but the planes were not struck or destroyed. Four of the five had virtually no damage and are already back in service. Trump claims that all coverage of his administration in this war effort that is negative is dishonest. Five tanker planes were damaged by a strike. That is true. He's just whining that it was covered, essentially. And in response to Trump's whining, Brendan Carr, who runs the FCC, said this: broadcasters that are running hoaxes and news distortions, also known as the fake news, have a chance now to correct course before their license renewals come up. The law is clear. Broadcasters must operate in the public interest, and they will lose their licenses if they do not. And frankly, changing course is in their own best interests, because trust in legacy media has now fallen to an all-time low of 9%, and our ratings disasters. The American people have subsidized broadcasters to the tune of billions by providing free access to the nation's airwaves. It's very important to bring trust back into media, which has earned itself the label of fake news. When a political candidate is able to win a landslide election victory in the face of hoaxes and distortions, there's something very wrong. It means the public has lost faith and confidence in the media, and we can't allow that to happen. Time to change. So Brendan Carr is threatening to revoke the news licenses of news companies that negatively cover any element of the Iran war, which is a phenomenal way of broadcasting, by the way, that the administration is terrified of how this is going to play out for Trump in the long run. The idea that this is where they would stake their claim, they're essentially admitting it. That they're, yeah, when things are going very, 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 very well, you know, we're only a couple of weeks into this and already we're threatening to just wipe off the map, just delete broadcasters who cover anything negative. It's such an insane play on their part. It's basically shooting themselves in the dick. I mean, to me, what it tells me is that this is Brendan Carr trying to get written in on the will. Let me lay this out for you. For one, this makes them look really bad. And any revocation of a broadcast license would be met with an unlosable lawsuit from the news company that files it. So they're not doing this shit. There's no way it works. For two, it makes them look very weak. For three, these broadcast licenses aren't up for renewal like anytime soon, which kind of suggests that they know this conflict in the Middle East is going to go down longer than they pretend that it is, you know? Like, if this was just meant to be a, you know, quick 3-day special military operation, why are we threatening long-term consequences over coverage? I know that this is meant to be representative of, like, a broader issue with fake news. It really cements the idea, the widespread perception that this war could continue indefinitely with no exit strategy, right? In my opinion, Brendan Carr just hasn't done anything lately to get himself in the good graces of Trump. As we know, when you're close to Trump, you get to benefit from not only unfettered corruption, but also specifically insider trading. It seems like the closer you are to Trump, the more likely it is that you get the insider info necessary to make those trades before the market shifts. My personal guess, Brendan Carr is insecure and anxious over his position relative to Trump because it's been a while since he's done anything. He worries, does Trump think disfavorably of me? Trump is complaining about the fake news here. I'm in charge of the fake news. This is kind of my, you know, department, but I'm not doing anything. Is he worried? Is he mad at me? Have I been let in on the recent insider deals? That's what I think. You know, I think Brendan Carr feels insecure about his position in the hierarchy. They fired Noam. It's true. For the first time, we saw real consequences for failure. Noam ruined everything in Minnesota, and as a consequence, she was removed. And now she runs that American Shield project that means nothing. And he should. He lost to Kimmel. That's true. Has Brendan Carr done anything since he lost to Kimmel? Because that's the last time I remember him coming in the news. It was Kimmel. Has he done anything since then? Colbert? Yeah, I guess Colbert, and then that f***ing backfired too. That's it. Literally, the last two things that he did were give a leg up to the opposition with really f***ing stupid interventions with two late-night TV hosts. No wonder he's feeling insecure. Good morning and God bless America. You said it, brother. Shaken in his oversized boots gifted by Trump. Do you think Brendan Carr also has oversized Oxfords given by Trump? Do you think, if he doesn't, do you think that means he thinks he's on the out? Like, do you think that it's like, oh, Trump didn't give you shoes? God, he, not a lot going on this page, huh? Kind of funny and ironic that you would run the Communications Commission and you would be like one of the quieter federal government pages on Twitter. we expect the oil price to drop, right? They just released oil reserves. My assumption is that the futures are probably going to drop by about $5. Then again, the news that they were releasing the reserves did take place before market close. But dude, if you think that like internet incels are nothing ever happens pilled, investors are the most nothing ever happens pilled people on earth by far. This is their fucking morning lesson every day. They get up, they slick their hair back, and they all attend a course where it's this guy giving them a lecture, okay? They do not think anything is ever going to stop the money pipeline from giving them more money. It's just a nonstop drip feed, you know? Yeah, totally disconnected from reality. Absolutely, completely disconnected. So we'll see. We're off to the races, folks. We have not, in fact, opened five down. We're at 100. 100.5, 100.56, 100.61, 100.55, 100.59. Do we have a 50? No, we have a 56. 100.56. Do we have a 57? 57. Do we have a 100? 164. 164. Panic sell everything. It's over. Panic sell everything. It's over. Oh, yeah. This isn't even the Brent. We've got 105 for the Brent over here. Everyone buy. Guaranteed to hit 200 today. Don't take that as advice. At the moment, at least, it seems like it's holding with a slight rise. We had a great talk on language policing the other day, and I do want to cover more Jang videos because it gives me the opportunity to engage a little bit more with the stuff he's talking about, but like a better version of it, I guess. At least I think it's a better version. I am nowhere near the like best source of information on anything regarding historical materialism, but damn, it is so informative, dude. Historical materialism is so, so, so useful. It's so useful. It's such an important way of, you should at least familiarize yourself with it so that you have it in your toolbox when trying to engage with the world. Because I'll admit to a bit of a taboo, if I may. I saw a recent debate. It was brought to my attention by chat between Destiny and Hutch. And it felt like, it's like a lib thing. They're libbing at each other. They're throwing libs at each, you know, they're libapulting. Lib bombs at one another. I felt like, at least on Destiny's side, there's like a fundamental puzzle piece missing, and I don't know if it's possible for him or for anyone, I guess, of that political predisposition to look past it, you know? The idea that beyond the partisan distinctions of this country, beyond the behavior of the media, or of any individual politician, there's an underlying current towards the interests of capital that everything flows back towards. And every push and pull that we see is like people playing at the surface of the water, right? Like you enter the river and you're playing with your friend, you're splashing each other, whatever. You move this way, you move that way. But the current is always pulling. Always, always, always pulling. And I think that like a lot of what we're seeing right now, a lot of these insane developments, no rule of law, president can do whatever the fuck they want, open corruption, a lot of this stuff, it's not just incidental, and it's not like an accidental byproduct of Trump's idiosyncrasies. It's not just like, oh, well, he's a crazy guy, so, you know, whatever, it's happening. It is the either the consequence of or the deliberate like byproduct of this longer shift towards capital interests, you know? And it's not a coincidence that it's happening here at the center of global capital, right? This is all the oligarchs, they fell in line, you know? The three guys that own all major media, they all fell in line. And I think like that, and then you look at it like, well, why isn't it? It's like, okay, underlying all these superficial arguments that we have, there are underlying battles that are being fought and we are losing badly. And we're losing to some very stupid people because they're very, very powerful, you know? Like Elon Musk, very, 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 very stupid, but he still bought Twitter for a tiny fraction of his wealth, leveraged out, you know, and the world is worse for it, you know. The Ellisons, I don't think the Ellisons are particularly smart. I just think they're wealthy. I really don't think there's much of a correlation between wealth and intelligence. Man, 101.5, sheesh, you know, and they're going to own the fucking world, you know. Disney, I think, is owned by some smarter people because they're more traditionally into the management of business. But even then, like, how smart do you want your rulers to be, really? They're still on the other side. They're still on the other side. You get what I mean? Historical materialism is useful, not just because it, I guess, leads you to agree with my conclusions, though I think it often does, but also because it gives you, in your toolbox now, you have the ability to understand, like, okay, why does it seem like the Democrats are so ineffective? Why does it seem like the Democrats are like hopelessly weak when it comes to the Republicans? They can barely even call out what they're doing. Why is it the Democrats, who, by the way, raise billions in campaign funding? It's not like they have no money and no expertise. They have very powerful and very intelligent consultants, media people. They have tons of money. Like, where does it go and what does it do? How is it that Trump was able to build such a national narrative in between January 6th and today, or I guess like up until the election, I suppose? How was he able to build such a powerful narrative when everything seemed stacked against him and he lost the presidency? Meanwhile, the Democrats never seem to use the bully pulpit properly, and they can never seem to convince media to work with them. Why does media work more with Republicans than Democrats on average? Even Democrat-aligned media feels like it's skewed towards Trump. Like, why does this keep happening? You know? And I think there are answers to it, but it involves criticizing the system at a more fundamental level than just like some Dems are weak and Republicans are more willing to be evil, even though that's true, right? Like, Republicans on average are much more evil than Democrats. I think that every Republican is an affront to God. I think there are plenty of good Democrats, even politicians. I think that there are Democratic politicians and consultants, even financiers, donors, who are fundamentally like fine. They're fine people, right? I don't know, like maybe a lot of them are good too, but they are trying to like actually manage the country. They are interested in management of the country, which is more than I can say about the Republicans. So why are they so weak? Why are they so bad at politics? You get me. I'm rambling. I think that I've made my point, I suppose. Solid ramble. People have to ask themselves and others these questions. Yeah. At the very least, you need to have an answer to them, because when I was watching the conversation between Destiny and Hutch, it felt like that wasn't even on the table. Like, there's a fundamental look. We all agree that the Republicans are evil and they're f***ing the country to death, man. Like, they are like really, really bad. Okay. I hold no water for arguments that minimize the evil Republicans represent. That's important, like step one stuff. But like, if you don't understand, or like, I guess you don't have an answer for why there's this schism in perceived effectiveness, the answers to these questions are not that difficult. I feel like they aren't intuitive, though. You would never get the answer to these questions by engaging with mainstream political discourse. You have to go outside of the mainstream. The idea that everyone, Democrats, Republicans, independent media, whatever, we are all like fighting and playing and moving around on top of a big ocean, and the ocean currents drag us, and the ocean current is called capital, and capital interests always seem to get their way on average. Stuff like that, they don't really talk about that in mainstream. You have to engage with it outside. Even then, I'm simplifying it massively here, because I'm just trying to describe the general analytical tool rather than any specific application of it. This is my project, I guess. This is why I want people to pay attention, I guess, or why I'm so concerned. Like, this is what I want people to engage with in the long run. I want Democrats to understand why their party is so ineffective, why it seems like they should have a layup here. They do in the midterm, sure. But people, like, the Democratic Party itself is still very unpopular. Why? How are they so unpopular compared to, like, the Republicans? They're all fucking, like, child fucking rapist, evil people. And the Democrats, there are bad Democrats, sure, but on average, how is the party struggling with its image so much? And there's some internal divisiveness that contributes to that, but by and large, I think it's the lack of a cohesive narrative, and the lack of a cohesive narrative, in my opinion, is because they're fighting uphill against a current that a lot of them kind of benefit from, and they rely on it. Even if they're not consciously trying to, like, you know, betray the party, they're still not able to fully commit themselves against the evils that plague us. Wouldn't a return to pre-Reagan and Thatcher economic policy basically remedy a lot of this? It would set us back a little bit in terms of how far along we are, but it would then things would just spiral out of control again and again. Keep in mind that, like, high taxes on the wealthy slow the disproportionate accumulation of wealth, but don't stop it. The ball is still rolling downhill. But yes, for sure, we should have higher taxes. I've noticed lately Hassan has been openly saying we're owned by Israel. He used to say the opposite thoughts. I use a lot of hyperbolic language with Israel, but I've always been keen to clarify exactly what I mean. Israel doesn't own America, and America doesn't really own Israel. Israel is just the externalized bulwark of capital and military interests that we use as a wedge to act as a vice signal slash like loyalty test to being in the in-group. The in-group being either an economic bloc or like the Christian evangelical doomsday cult. But I've said stuff like, you know, politicians bend the knee to Israel. I'm using it euphemistically. I don't think they're actually loyal to Israel in the sense that like they take orders from it. Rather, it represents the block of interest that they're loyal to. loyal to. It's a subtle but important distinction. It's important for people to understand that, like there's nothing Israel can do to control America. The people who control America, Americans in America, who are loyal to Israel in the sense that they agree with the block of interest it represents, you know? 101.6. It's actually going up faster than I expected. We'll see how it goes. I've never seen oil markets this tumultuous in my life.